Can somebody shout a loud amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Welcome to the year of great and mighty harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a year of great and mighty harvest. Can I have your seat? Shake hands with somebody and just say something nice to them as you take your seat tonight. Lord Jesus, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Jesus is here. Amen. 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 With the last meeting we had here, we read Isaiah 45 and we stopped there. I feel like reading it again. So start from the same place. Great things are written of you, all of you.
Amen.
And you will walk in them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isaiah 45 says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, verse 1, whose right hand I am holding to subdue nations before him, I will loose the lands of kings to open before him the two-lipped gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. I will give the treasures of darkness. There is something called the treasures of darkness. And it's coming to everybody here. And hidden riches in the secret places of the earth. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called you by name, I am the God of Israel. Hallelujah. For Jacob's servants, for my servant Jacob and Israel. Now, I just remember now while reading that, she wasn't the only one that told me about house rent testimony. Someone else had written her own as a testimony. So when she went to answer, why are you the one that said no? So that means, I don't know the person that I wrote yet. Somebody wrote that her house rent was financially paid for. So when she wanted to start talking to the pastor about the rent, I thought she was the one. I said, no. So I'm here to locate that person. And then another person in choir told me, she told me last week or 2 weeks ago that she only had 100 or 400 and the landlord wouldn't accept that. And I said, call your landlord and tell the landlord how much you have. Then by all through the week, somebody gave 100 again, then somebody gave 100 again, and she has given the landlord 300. And the man said, okay, you can pay the rest at the end of the month. Those who receive somebody paying for them, those who receive favor of the man saying pay, this is the bottom line. Whatever project you have standing before you is paid for by the Spirit of God already.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Favor can be a currency. They might say you are renting this shop for 1 million. Somebody can say, okay, you know what? Take it. When you start making profit, pay. It is given to you already. The bottom line is you are inside the shop already. Or whatever. This is the grace that is coming unto everybody this evening.
Amen.
Jesus is your sponsor.
Amen.
And it will be manifest to all. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We read about Cyrus last year. All I just wanted to, what I want to say briefly today, is just to continue from where I stopped in church yesterday. And that is, you are the plan. To get everybody to have an understanding that you are very important to God. Many times when we read promises, we assume they are for some people. A promise that God is not planning to give you won't let you hear about it. Remember, faith comes by hearing. The moment you are somewhere and it's being repeated, it simply means you are the man. Even the negative side of it, when Prophet Nathan came and he said to David, David just committed adultery and then he killed Uriah. And then he hid the whole thing and he thought nobody was looking. And then Nathan came and he started with a parable. He said, there was a man in a city, a poor man. He had just one sheep or one lamb. And he said, the rich man that had many came, told the whole parable. And he said, the rich man, when his visitors came, instead of him to kill his own sheep, he went for the poor man's one and only sheep and collected and killed the sheep. And David started swearing. He said, is it in this town? He said, God do so, and more so to me. That's their pattern of swearing then, in those days. If the man will stay till the night, he said, who is the man? And I will deal decisively with the man. And Nathan looked at him. and said, you are the man. That I gave you plenty wives. Uriah had just one, and you took her and killed the man. I mean, David just went down. You know, that's on the negative side, that you are the man. When the prophecy was coming, he thought, no, someone else. The same thing. The great and mighty promises in the Bible. Many times we read, but you don't read yourself into it. There is no Cyrus on earth again. You are the Cyrus now. Praise the Lord. And remember, we stopped last year by saying that this prophecy came about 200 years before the guy was born. And suddenly, he was told that he was the one. Now, two things I want to pick from this. And this is the power of prophecy, and this is the power of preaching in your life. You see, in 2016, it is not by might. It is not by power. It's by the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit leading us. I saw workers meeting on Saturday. I was shocked at the number, the highest so far. I think everybody is beginning to sense that there is something different about this year. Morning devotion for all the leaders before service. The two Sundays of the year, we've had the people have arrived earlier than ever before. Membership class that they had on Sunday before service from 7 a.m., they had more people that came to membership class than when they were having it on Saturday. I've seen him teaching 4 people, teaching 6 people before, but there were well over 20 people this time around. Everybody can sense. Now, what I just wanted to begin with is like, it is not by power. Initially, Cyrus did not know what was going on. He just found out that every nation he fought, he overpowered them easily. And I gave you the major story when the Bible said that the gate shall not be shut. That even the day he wanted to attack Babylon, the greatest empire then, he met Babylon gate open. That was the night. Remember I said that? That was the night that Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, that Daniel was telling, and the finger wrote on the wall. When the finger was writing on the wall, Cyrus and his army were marching towards Jerusalem, or towards Babylon. Not knowing what they were going to meet there, because Babylon and Nepal was the most powerful empire then. They prepared for maximum resistance. They didn't even know whether they were going to overcome the battle, whether they were going to win the battle or not. But they forged ahead all the same. Only for them to get to Babylon, and they made the gate open. Why? Belshazzar threw a party that night. That was what happened before the finger wrote. They were drinking in the cup of gold, and the cup they took from the house, they got drunk. And all the soldiers were drunk, and there was nobody to fight. So Cyrus came in, he saw the gate open, he saw the palace, and then by the time he saw the squad, they were down, drunk. And he cheaply over, and then he killed Belshazzar that night, and became the war power. But later, a lady that he took as a slave, read this place to him, and told him that 150 years before you were born, a prophet in our nation by the name of Isaiah spoke about you. And Cyrus began to read. And he understood why those nations were falling one after the other with ease. That it was not by his power. Jehovah promised that I will cause all gates to be opened before you. I will loose the lions of kings before you. Are you with me?
Yes,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he wasn't the only one God gave this kind of promise to. In Joshua 1, we also read that one on Sunday. About verse 4, says, God said, no man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. So every nation Joshua fought also, he won. You see, but what I want us to pick from this is, Joshua has gone to heaven. Cyrus is probably in heaven or whatever he is. Prophecies don't die. Characters die. Are you with me? God says something. Isaiah 53. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 53. I just want to read verse 1. God says something. And whoever steps in one day at the camp, there was a woman. She was, I think, in her 50s, and she was not married. And she came with her two sisters. And by the way, John said that there's somebody here. You are really very old, and you are not married, but it's your time. And she jumped up and shouted, "Amen!" I told sister that, "Stop calling me auntie from now." They were younger sister that I'm now a sissy girl. And in a short time, she got married and had children of her own. You see, there is somebody here does not carry anybody's name. There were older women there waiting that maybe, by the way, when he prays for me, something will happen. And that's why I'm about to read Isaiah 15. Because when you study the Bible in this 2016, read yourself into the Bible. Jesus opened the book of Isaiah. His name was not there. In the Bible, that's Luke chapter 4. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And the Bible says he looked at everybody and said, today, this scripture is fulfilled. And the Pharisees got angry. Jesus said that when Isaiah gave that prophecy, he didn't put anybody's name. But I have come to accept the prophecy. I am seeing by the Spirit so many people with the anointing of Cyrus here. Marketplaces will be thrown open before you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Names will change.
Amen.
Sometimes the change of government is an orchestration of Jehovah to change certain things. Yeah. You won't play politics, none of your business, don't support or go against anybody, but begin to understand the script of your life. Because certain things are done for your sake. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. There is no government that can be empowered to go against a man that the Spirit of God is working with. The Bible says, whether they be thrones or principalities or power, Colossians chapter 1, all things were made by him and for him. Are you with me? They are working for him. That's why things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. All things work together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 53, verse 1. The Bible says, who has believed our reports? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Say, who has believed? This is all the same as I gave all these heavy prophecies. And I'm saying that I just need to know who I am giving reports. Who has believed our reports? And that's the most important thing. Who has believed our reports? In Judges chapter 6, I think we've dealt with that a bit of that here, or maybe in a main church on Wednesday before. An angel appeared to Gideon and he said, the salutation was, hello, mighty man. And Gideon laughed. He must have told the angel, sorry, are you drunk? Is it weed or alcohol? Which one of the two? You know, like, mighty man, are you talking to me or talking to somebody else? Then he started telling the angel, he decided to give the angel a little lecture. And you don't understand what we are saying. That my family is the smallest family in Israel. That's it, my tribe. In my tribe, my family is the smallest family in my tribe. Now, in my family, my father's house is the smallest household. In my father's house, I am the last born. He says, so you can understand? And the angel was looking at him. He took his time to lecture the angel. Maybe I need to let you know the man you are calling mighty man. Now, so when you arrange everybody, I am the last person. And the angel said, go in this diamond and save Israel. And Gideon was like, is this guy? Actually, I was looking at him. He must ask the question again. I said, is it weed or alcohol? Which one? You must be on something to be referring to me. But the angel was trying to let him know something. The angel came from the presence of God and spoke to Gideon based on how God was looking at Gideon. All I want to tell you tonight, you are extremely important to God's plan. You will fall out of the plan when you think you are not. That's why this Bible says that who has believed our reports. You see, John, First John 3. And I'll begin to close now. First John 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. 1 John 3 verse 1. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world might not know. Oh, thank you. The world might not know. There is nobody living with a Christian who really knows who you are. Your parents don't know who you are. For a long time, everybody, not even your husband or your wife, they have measured you by what they can see. But you realize the Creator is understood from His creation. Sometimes when you're on the sea and you are cruising, you see the eyes. What you see as the top, that's why they call it the tip of the iceberg. What you see can be 1/100 of the size of the ice under the water. That was what happened to Titanic. Now, many of these oceans that we look at, they are mountains bigger than Everest under some oceans. Hope you know. I seen a documentary where they went down until the place where light could not reach. Scientists used all kinds of light, but it got to a particular level. Everybody came back. They were afraid to go. They kept going into the ocean. They went several thousands of miles deep down, and they never reached the end of the ocean, so they came back. So they got to the place. It was complete darkness. No matter the light, the darkness, I'm sure that was darker than that they saw in Egypt. The one that will kill light. The Bible says darkness that was in Egypt could be felt. If you did like this, you will feel the darkness. Because it came from God. So God gave them real darkness. You know, God himself, the Bible says, he sits in the dark places. And he's looking at the old one. God is very funny. Himself is light. But once in a while, just go and sit in darkness. He is almighty. He is full of wonders. And when he comes, darkness knows the master. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember one of our seniors then, you know, he was a bad boy. It's like, he just took the Bible one day and read. I said that the Bible said that Jesus went to the region of the dark to fight the devil. And I said that, God likes taking risks. Why would he go? He said the devil is the son of darkness. That if Jesus wanted to fight the devil, he should have fought him on the earth or in heaven. Now why did he go to the dark, to that region? He said, what about if the devil had choked Jesus there? His own understanding. He did not understand that even death knows who the master is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is... they might not know, and nobody knows. So there is a little revelation of you that has been seen by people around, even the person you are married to. And that is who they think you are. That is why after encounters with God, people always discover that those who have encounters with God just become strange on that. An encounter with God might not necessarily add something to you in that sense. An encounter with God unveils something about you. There are many things covering the glory and who you are. When Jesus shows up, he just takes one off, and he takes two off, and he can take seven off immediately. And then the person becomes a living wonder on earth. That's why you see a man full of fear, all of a sudden, extremely bold. And nobody can explain why. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is very important. So the Bible says that the world does not know us. Now verse 2. Let's look at it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. Like I said. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. John got to a point, he said that, you know what? Now we are the sons of God. Not later. Now. He said it does not yet appear. Nobody can exactly say, when I begin to manifest, what manner of man or woman will I be? He said, the only thing I know is that Jesus, our standard, when he appears, we can only compare ourselves with him. But nobody knows the extent of your manifestation on the face of the earth. And guess what? It is rooted in what you think about yourself. What you think about what the Bible says about you. This is why every one of you needs to be familiar with the scripts. This is why before we study the Bible at times, we pray that our spirit might be conditioned that we are about to receive something unusual. That is the only way what you see will stick to you and it will become the expression of your life. The first thing Gideon saw, with 300 men, he conquered the greatest nation on earth. With 300 men, He said, put your trumpet in your mouth, no sword, and then put something, pictures in your hand. And he said that shout the sword of God and the sword of Gideon. Sometimes, even the devil knows who some believers are more than them. Amen. Before they knew the ability, the king of Egypt said that these people, check Exodus 1:2. He said to his soldiers, he said, the Israelites are stronger than us. He said, if what should happen, they will overpower us here. He said, so let us task them heavily. Pharaoh knew ahead of them. Amen. Hallelujah. When Gideon was afraid, God said, let me just show you, let me unveil something to you. It was one way how the battle would be. God said that in the night, just sneak out of your own camp. Go to the camp of Midian and hear something. And Gideon came. And you know, they used to dwell in tents in those days. And he saw soldiers like maybe 300,000 or and he had just 300. And he came there and he listened. And the man just said, two soldiers were talking. And one said that, you know what, I had a dream yesterday night. He saw, I saw a pot of cake. He said he tumbled over our tents and he folded the tent up and the tent fell. And the interpreter said that, that is nothing but the sword of Gideon. He said, Gideon will finish us. Now, he was afraid, but the enemies were already concluding that Gideon will kill us. You know, Satan spends some time in heaven. Sometimes he can see through your spirit, man, this inner ability, the glory, but he doesn't want you to know about it. Everybody here, leave this place today knowing that whatever you've seen in your life is far from who you are. And in 2016, you will manifest who you are more.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Have you clapped? Have you applauded? Have you celebrated some people? Oh, Aliko Dangote. Oh, Adenuga. Greater than all of them is here tonight.
Yeah.
They have not seen airlines in Nigeria. They have not seen airlines in Nigeria. They are not seeing oil business in Nigeria. I bless God for Lucia like it. I think she thank God for all those people. They have not seen anything. Because you are here. The interesting thing is that some of these people, when they were young, never had a clue that they would become more than them. But there was just a dream inside. But they never knew the dream would get this big. But I'm telling you, the word of God gives you the idea of who you are. And go with this. There is none of you that will embark on anything in 2016 and fail.
Amen.
What you will not do, the spirit will just tell you not to do it. Not that you will know by trial and error after you've lost money. And okay, this is not the business I should do. No, that's why you have the Holy Spirit. It will guide you. In 2016, you shall be guided.
Amen.
You'll be led. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just stay with the scripts. You cannot joke with Bible study. When I give a message like this, they are trying to help me record. Get the message and listen more. That's what you need. By me talking to you tonight, I am unveiling to you a part of your identity, letting you know that you are important to God. We said it in church yesterday, you are the plan. You are wondering, who will feed all those hungry souls? You are the plan. You are tired of hearing, you are wondering, all this house rent thing, government is not the plan. APC is not the plan. A party might be better than the other, but none can solve. Even in the best nations of the earth, people are still complaining and languishing in poverty. Nigerians don't know that the Americans are as poor as Nigeria. That the living condition is better. That's all. All of them are on credit. They live credit. An average American is a debtor. It's a debtor. They are in serious debt. Africans are the ones who spend cash when we go there. They don't spend cash. Everything is on credit. You can go and pick a car and drive, but you will pay. You pay through your nose later. Amen. Too many people in America are poor. What about England? The same thing. They are poor. So if the answer is not where, that is why borrow $1,000 or borrow $200 from a UK man. He will collect to the last kobo. You know, there's nothing like my cousin is doing well. Let me just help him. I'm giving. They don't do all that too. Do you know that in UK they invite you for dinner? When somebody is inviting you for a dinner, it means you bring your money to pay for your dinner. The first thing happened to Pastor Bakari, he nearly got embarrassed. A white man told him that they should discuss something, let's discuss over a dinner, and he thought there was going to be a free dinner. The guy only paid for his own and asked him to pay for it. You invited me. I was in my house. What was the meaning of this? That's the way they are. There are weddings, they get to at the entrance. I mean, everything is calculated because they are broke. As you walk, calculate the number of hours. Everything. One of my friends was there. The day he forgot to put off his heater, and he went from like maybe from London to Sunderland for a birthday party. I know the way their things are structured. Those are the most expensive things. Things you can't do without, and the ones you pay more money on. When it's extremely cold, you have to use the heater. But if you forget to switch off your heater, your money is running, and the bill shall come to you. Good measure, press down, shake it together. In Nigeria, you can beg your landlord. Over there, you can beg. A few people there, they just have a few exceptions who can just think of doing that. But normally, they don't really beg like that. That's it. When you don't even talk to your neighbor, you don't even know your neighbor. This is Pastor Michael. He said, after they bought the house in London, after some years, told his wife, our neighbor, let's go and greet him. At least we should know the neighbor. And they knocked the man's door, the white man. Look at them from there to say, eh? Say, we are your neighbors. We just want you to know that we are your neighbor. He nearly shut the door on their leg. Just closed the door and hiss and went back. I was going to say, he screamed by Woko Shejue. It's not your fault. He was angry. You are younger than us because we came to greet you. Say, lender, mind your business. Have you seen trying to say good morning to somebody and you respond by saying, mind your business? Yeah. That means don't greet me. I mean, what is good in the morning? Mind your business. We have love in this country and we are kind. Nigerians are the most wonderful people on the face of the earth. That's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just need to learn a few things. We too, we are crying our own way. And when you talk about racism, we are also racist. Except those that God has dealt with their heart. Have you seen Nigeria posting for people in Kenya and all those places? We too, we show them. We do. If we are the ones in manufacturing everything all over the world, God help us. Our ego will be at a level. Amen. Wait till you see Nigerians in the stadium with Tanzanians and the rest. There is a way we sit. And also, they also respect our Nigerians. So, where are you from, Lesotho? The way Nigerians look at Lesotho, you know, not get mad there. That's not. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you ride people, you can ride. I learned a simple lesson in my life. The poor people oppress the poor people. It's not really the rich that are oppressing the poor. It's the poor people. One day, myself and my wife, Pastor David, just put to bed. And we decided, we live in the same estate. So, we decided to stroll. I like trekking. I just enjoy trekking naturally. I said, okay, let's just go to David's house. Myself and my wife and two ladies living with us. And we got to the gate of his street. And the security man started. Cars were passing and he was throwing salutes. Where are you going to? Now, their house was, that time was the second house on the street. And I said, well, I don't know. But I said, but that's the house. I mentioned this. That don't you know David and Money? That is the house over there. We can see through the gate. We can see the house. He said, no. Tell me the number. I said, I don't know the number. Am I supposed to be cramming number? Say, I can see the other house. I'm going to say, he started. Then Pastor Morris' brother-in-law lives on the same street also. And that one has been there for over 50 years. One of the dons on that street. So I mentioned that, okay, what about Pastor Adedeji? He lives down there. He's also our friend. He said, I know him. He said, but tell me the number of either of the houses. I said, my God. He kept us there until we called Pastor. Pastor David came out. He was running. He was angry. Now the following day, I needed to drop something for them. And I was coming to church. So I drove. When I got to the gate, the guy got, yes, sir! And I passed. Honestly, when I was home, I wanted to pause to tell him that. Now, do you remember yesterday? I just thought it was not that, so I left. And I've seen this many times. If you want to penetrate any estate, any office, there is a way you dress. A security man can't tell you to stop there. If a guy is instructed, he will say with respect, I still miss her. Please, are they? If he sees you coming and there are two mopos behind you, and the mopos are opening gate for you, you think a security man will say that, hey, where are you going to? But when you are coming, it looks like your palm slippers. And then the shirt and everything. And then it feels big all of a sudden. Then he says, so sorry. Hallelujah. This is why poverty is bad. It's terrible. Every son said his own experience was in his estate, you know, he was driving his Jeep and this one would stand. He said he thought that they knew him as a pastor on TV, that they star pastor. And even though they didn't know anything about it, well, the car they knew. Said there was a problem with his car one day. I think his wife's car also, and then decided to go with a very small car out. He said, they stopped him. Do you live in this estate? Yes. Okay. They reluctantly let him pass. And now say, they don't know any pastor. He's the car. Amen. None of us will be poor.
Amen.
Poverty is terrible. I don't know why some people attack Christians who are rich. Then you pray that you should be poor. By all standards, it's a terrible thing to be poor. You might not be flashy, but you should be able to afford to meet your needs and meet the needs of other people. I mean, that is normal life. When your cousin is doing wedding, it's a good thing to be able to say that. How much is the bill? Oh, 2.5 million. Okay, take half a million. That's how life should be. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who doesn't want to live that life? Christians themselves want to live that life. They just talk. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's nobody that does not want to send the children to the kind of school you want them to go to, not the one the economy is forcing you to send them to. Yes. If you take economy in plane, it should be by choice. And you know, if you are traveling many times, those of you that travel many times, you understand the disparity is there at the airport very well. And then when you drive for the first time, you might not notice that they are looking down those of you that take economy. But after a while, you will notice. When they pack you like sardine on a long queue, and they search and put their hand everywhere, and business people and first time will just pass by. And Amen. You know, at entrance of another airport, they have private lounge for them. While they are 3 hours, you are waiting at the lobby for flights. They are sleeping, and they are eating all kinds. Then they shower and they come out fresh, and they enter the plane. You will enjoy that kind of journey. You are going to sit down in a plane that's going to America for 12 hours. They've also kept you. They've kept you for 4 hours at the airport, sweat, just looking. And walking around, all you are seeing chocolate and the rest. It can be terrible. Amen. It can be terrible. I pray everybody should live a good life. Really, that's the normal thing. Have you heard me today? The word of God will reveal to you your true identity. Please, stay with the word. Don't joke with Bible study and preaching. 2016, we need this. By March, April, I want everybody here begin to have discovered more about yourself. The last place says that everyone that has this hope in himself purifies himself as he is pure. It's the reason why certain people can do certain things. When you see where you are going, you begin to purify your steps. You cannot talk anyhow. You cannot do things anyhow. Let me give you an example. You see, people have been talking about 2016 in prophecies and the rest. I want to say this because I believe very strongly. There is hardly anything that happens to this nation and many other places that Pastor Debo doesn't know ahead of time. It just doesn't talk. His prophecies are very simple and parable. Somebody said that what is prophecy in this? It's wisdom. At that level, you don't talk anyhow. If God reveals to you, see, any prophet on the street can say that this one will die. It won't carry any implication. If Pastor Debo says it can be a serious problem, even against redeem. So you have to be very, very careful. The higher you go, this is someone that the queen has called upon before to come and pray for her. So you have to watch your statement. So the higher you go, the more careful you have to be. They have the largest camp in America now, bigger than any Christian church in America. Everything. And I told you, they are the only Pentecostal church that is registered in Israel. When you become a man, Prime Minister of Israel sends people for the last Holy Ghost, sends representative. At that point, you are careful. So John said, everyone that has this, the more you see of where you are going, the more careful you become. And the more you cannot do certain things. Amen. See, Christians who misbehave. Somebody's in office, a very wonderful office as a Christian. If a Christian commits fornication, God will forgive him. But when you keep repeating, it can become a rebellion that can be a problem to you. God has promised to always forgive. But rebellion will grieve God. He said, you have grieved me these 10 times. It gets to a point that there will be a fatal punishment attached. And it might not necessarily be from God. It's law sowing and reaping. God is always helping us to remove evil seeds so that they don't count against our destiny. But it can get to a point that you might learn, it will leave it. It will leave it. And how many believers have been affected that way? That's why when people are hearing from God that don't live this way, the best you can do is say, Father, thank you. I've lived like that before. Henceforth, I stop and I live this. And that's what it's supposed to be. I've met people in the church who told me that they've been living together before they got married. But after one or two months, they decided to stop and then went to their different houses. And one of them even got married later. But there was 1 year of no sexual intercourse between them again. They responded to the word. Nothing can stand against them in days to come. But if somebody hears and he goes back. So the Bible says, everyone that has this hope purifies himself. There is something ahead. You purify yourself. You purify yourself. I have friends who avoid being alone with opposite sex. It's because there is something. They can see. They can see. Amen. One of my friends, the only one that did not take heed to all these warnings. We all started preaching together and he lost the whole thing. When we're having a meeting, I can't even come there again. And some of us warned him that time. Things happen and happen unto the devil. And I have shared a bit of his possibility before. When we were all growing up, he was the only one that had healing anointing more than the rest of us. Everyone he ever prayed for got healed. Everybody. But he allowed this to come in. He started one lady next Monday. I was one day I went to his house and I just saw. And when inside the car, we're driving. Very handsome guy. We're driving, was driving, cruising a nice ride. And I just sat beside him and then a text message came. The lady said, I feel like having sex now. Can you come over? And he showed me. And I just told him that if not that you were already having sex with her, she wouldn't send you this SMS. That it's not normal for a lady to be asking you for sex, knowing that you're a pastor. And to just send a direct message like that, except something must have happened before. I said, friend, tell me the truth. You have been. And they said, something. I said, oh, not something like that. Something that. Remove the like. And that got him into. And from one to another like that. Because you don't see a pregnant woman running 100 meters. The greatest of kings in the world have the greatest discipline. Do you know that if a king is pressed, they can't even use just any toilet? They are trained in such a way that there are certain things they must not eat when they are going, so that they will not have any cause. During the conference, they want to use the toilet. The trainings are hard, especially like Queen of England. So she cannot come to Nigeria and just say, yeah, okay, during the message, I'm tired, I want to. No! If they are not feeling fine and you started, you have to feel, they've been trained that way. Otherwise, they can't crown you king. So during your days of training, there are every things that will be laid because the old world will be bound before you as a king. So there must be a difference between you and the old world. A king can be hungry to the point of almost dying. But there are certain things they will not eat. And they will not show a sign of hunger. Yes. The one Mike Murdoch came to see in Africa, one remote area. Even when he saw Mike Murdoch, he came later and somebody was saying that they were, and he said, no, it's just to Mike Murdoch that a king does not run. So I've been trained to take steps like this. Even if you or Obama, you are coming to my territory, this is how I will walk. I cannot run. And he said that everybody must understand that. That is the way I've been trained as a king. If you are thinking that in 1 year, your turnover can go into several millions. Man, it will tax your time because of who you are. This revelation will stop you from doing some things and will help you to start doing certain things. And once you are this person, you will always appear wiser than your age. Very true. On January 1st, there were 2 houses myself and Joshua went to dedicate. One was by a member of the church, then one, somebody who was a member, but now she, I know, in Aja, fantastic duplexes. She got married and then she had to move. As a matter of fact, she was living with me. Many of you know me. She was living with me before. If her husband met her in my house, she was working by paper there. She stood outside the gate waiting for a car in my good early in the morning and the man picked her. Usually people pick themselves in the gate and then they became friends and then from friendship too. So, and on the way there, her father was not there, so more or less I was the father. So, I said, let me come and see your house. She had been telling me about the house God gave them. Let me come and pray. And then I went there. And then when I came back, she sent me a SMS. One of their neighbors just called her. I'm sure the girl wouldn't know that she was much more older than her. He said, I need to talk to somebody. There's a man in my life. Mention the name, one of the big boys in Lagos. Said in the last 6 years, he has paid all my bills. I was working in the bank, but I've been sacked. I know this relationship is ungodly. The man has a family, and he's showering money on me. He lives with his family. Said the man paid for this apartment. Said every now and then, I know it's over, but I don't know how to stop. What do I do? And this young girl sat with her and started showing her. So she sent the number to me, that, can you join me in praying for this? I said, I'll join you in praying for her. Then he said, this is what we are talking about. She told me the whole process of the house. It was supernatural. They were broke, yet they have a standing duplex now. I'm telling you, get ready. Get set. She's married to a very wonderful guy. Every December, they must bring a gift. One time, they brought a freezer to my house, and I looked, I'll just be like, wow. Listen. Are you hearing me today? Praise the Lord. Let the focus guide you. Let it guide where you talk, how you talk, and what you do. And never allow offense in. Let's rise up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never put your hand in anything that is wrong. It's your time. It's your season. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I haven't prophesied today. Temptations will come. Overcome. You are an overcomer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It is your season.
Amen.
It is your time.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
2016 will be a different year for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The harvest is great.